Good evening, Patriots. So I just got finished with a live stream. If you heard that over there on Red Pill 78 with Zach, it was about 2 hours. So thank you for all of you that were over there. It's a great show. Lots of viewers. He had like 4,000 people on Rumble. A lot of people watching. So just a really, really good job. And it's just, let's see, hang on just a second here. I'll have to look. Zach just sent me a message, and I'll check that out in a little bit here. But anyway, it was a good show, and really enjoyed being there with Zach. Zach is an awesome Patriot, and he's going to be on Sunday night show, which is the Expedition Cafe show. Zach is on then. It's going to be a great feature. Zach is also speaking at Bard's Fest, so that's going to be a fantastic thing. So we're really excited about it. Great Patriot. He's been in that fight a long time. You know, we were talking today just how many people, when we go back to 2017 and how many Patriots were there. I mean, how many people were in our voices and how that has narrowed down quite a bit. The place that we're at right now is we have to really support the voices of the Patriots that are out here continuing to build. Zach is one of those. He's been targeted heavily, and he's done a great job of repositioning himself. He's over at Foxhole. He's on Rumble, a variety of other places. He's on Clout Hub, which is where we're going to start being over there pretty quick as well, so it's good. We're just waiting for them to fix one little piece so I can start bringing that over, which is just the file format, because I do a lot of the audio stream is MP3, and we couldn't upload the other day, so they're working on that, and hopefully they'll get that fixed real soon. Real quick, just a couple of things around the top. As you know, Bard's Fest is 26th to the 29th of August. And we've simplified the whole process. You buy a ticket at the Family Arena. You use that same ticket to experience the Powerplex, which is 9 miles away, which is where we have the big family event going on with the festivities. And we have the county by county. So it's two events for the same price. Make sure and take advantage of that. It's huge. And we've done that because it just... since we were deplatformed off of Eventbrite, don't forget that, since Media Matters and Eventbrite tried to deplatform our sales, and they did. Literally, they refunded all the tickets. It was a perfect opportunity just to say, okay, fine. We'll just make this what God wants us to make it. So take it as a good notice. And that way, if you just want to go to the Powerplex, you'll be able to get those tickets next week when we finish the digital store. And those tickets are just going to be donation based, or if you can't afford it, great. In the meantime, get your tickets to the Family Arena. Get two events for the price of one, basically. It's awesome. And it's going to be a lot of similar speakers, but different events going on, a lot more activities for the family, and just to participate in fellowship going on in the Powerplex. It's in an indoor-outdoor facility. It's great. It's really amazing. Also, let's remember to support Mike Lindell as they target him. MyPillow, Mike Lindell, Bard's code, Bard's promo code. So go to mypillow.com, use your Bard's promo code, B-A-R-D-S. And then, on top of all this, tonight, if you didn't hear it earlier, we launched the Expedition Coffee. That show will be up a little bit later, just still post, but it was a great show, I think. Dr. Eric Naputi joined me. We talked a lot about this new product. It's something I've been looking to find and be part of for quite a while. It's not just coffee. This is kind of a health immune booster with coffee. It's a great product. Dr. Eric Naputi gave a great discussion about that in the science and the health aspect of it. So something that was developed by the labs he's been working with and he's involved with. And it was extended to me to offer a formula that they had to bring that out under our own label. That's Expedition, Expedition. So you can go over to Bard's FM, and you'll see at the top, it says coffee. Just click there. It'll take you to the page. And then from there, you can take off. And there'll be more. We're going to get the audio cast posted there as well, so you can listen to that. And we will... I'll have some other audio features on there so you can get a little more detail than what's on there. But right now it's there, and we had a great show earlier with that. So if you haven't heard that, as soon as I get it posted later this evening, take a listen to that. That was the Bard's FM show tonight called the launch of Expedition Coffee. So there we go. After leaving the show with Zach tonight, it really struck me that a lot of what we're struggling with, and a lot of people are struggling with, is this difference between seeding, sowing seeds, and trying to accomplish solutions. And it's really not within us to be able to accomplish all of these solutions. I think, in fact, it's counterproductive. This fight that we're in is massive, and as a scale and a magnitude that we really can't get our heads around it very easily. And for that reason, when we're trying to fix things, we're really kind of working counter to what is really our role, in my opinion. The parable of the sower, which is Matthew 13, 1 through 9, I think is very apropos here. So I'm going to read this. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he stood and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path. The birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, and since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. The whole premise of this, right, it begins right from the beginning when Christ says, when it is said that he told them many things in parables, and that comment links to the very end where he says, he who has ears, let him hear. The point of the parables is to provide a way of unlocking the deeper meanings of things. And it's structured. I've talked about this recently, of the importance for us to study parables, to use it as a way to reach people. So there's many layers in this parable of the sower. And one of the, I think, the lessons that we're really hearing here is that we aren't going to fix all things. Just like seeds, if we're going out with the intent of planting a garden, and if you've done gardening and you've done gardening on really bad soil and how much work it takes to get that soil right, you know that if you just throw seeds on bad soil, not much is going to happen. In fact, that soil could stay barren. It could stay impact compacted. It could be a base of clay or worse, and you're not going to get much growing there unless you're a little bit lucky. And then that process of a seed sprouting with roots and then withering away is a cycle of nature that goes over and over and over until eventually there's enough of something that's broken up in that ground that a seed can finally take hold. But that's a lot the way humanity is. Because right now there's a whole mass of people out here that are consumed with the narrative of fear, consumed with this perspectives of this injection, consumed with this idea that the election was not fraudulent. And with that, they are not willing to hear, because so much of what their life is constructed around is a false worship of a false truth. And that truth comes from that television box or from the radio program run by our major networks. They're even delusional to believe that Fox News is somehow a truthful entity, when by definition, if you read Fox's corporate documents, they've listed themselves as an entertainment outlet. And that's important to keep in mind, because that doesn't change with their relationship to news. Knowledge is deep and facts are shallow. And I think that's an important perspective to hold. Knowledge comes from the studying of things and looking to their deeper roots, which is hence another piece of the sower, the parable of the sower, that the roots have to go deep into good soil to be able to take root and prosper with much grain. And some of that will be 100-fold, some will be 60, and some will be 30, as the parable speaks. But it is the facts, the details of things, that's relatively shallow. It doesn't tell us a story, and yet we've become a society very dependent on facts, as if it matters. You know, the one fact of today that someone says something becomes a profound moment when it's just a statement, right? CDC advisor says that we are recommending that people wear masks indoors. That's a fact. It's a detail. It's not a provable fact other than it's an opinion that they're giving that becomes a detail in a moment in time. And yet that becomes the headlines, that becomes the story, it becomes the truth. But it's not. It's just a spin. It's a way of ginning up fear and consumption. As we do that, we separate ourselves from our relationship to wisdom, and our wisdom is rooted in God. So there is a place here that when we get consumed with the idea of changing the world, for those of you that are remembering, yesterday, Media Matters has proclaimed that I was a QAnon person with a QAnon militia, so I think I'll be a warlord, just so we're clear. And I know they're going to quote that one, and they're going to have a good time, so anyway. But whether you're a warlord, or whether you're a QAnon militia leader, or whether you're a QAnon, or whether you're a lover of Christ, at the end of the day, it's the wisdom that we have to, find, not the silly little details that are put out there. The problem we have is that details, like I say, paint the picture of the reality, and the details themselves change. So here's a great example of this. They have compelled many people to get the injection, giving them details that apparently with this injection, they're suddenly going to get free. Well, this is kind of a funny thing anyway, because our country was built on a framework of God and moral law, so that our unalienable rights, which were life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, were given to us by God and to be taken away by no one. And yet these petty tyrants took it away, and people went with it, and they put on the masks, and they bowed to them, and they worshipped the petty tyrants, because it became a form of idolatry. It was an idolatry of fear that compelled them to give away with their own free will all that God had given us. It's a rather profound thing, and it's not a good thing by any way. Profound, not in a positive way. So with that moment right there, as we did that, we're now fighting to get back unalienable rights. But as we're noticing, once we gave it to the cabal, they're not willing to give it back without a cost. And that cost is you need to get an injection. Well, what's the injection do? The injection corrupts your DNA. It corrupts the temple. It destroys your heart. It causes you to have problems with your brain, because these things pass over the blood-brain barrier. You have blood clots. You have other issues throughout your body. It is a destructive mechanism that they're asking you to take in exchange for God's gift of unalienable rights. And you're just never going to get them back, because once you get the injection, then you're theirs and they own you. So all of this is about how we get from here to there. It's about sowing, because we have a lot of people now, that have embraced this walk, this trap within the matrix. They've embraced the injection. They've embraced the fear in which they live and worship. And we're on the outside looking in, and we're trying to wake people up, but we're not going to be able to do it with a hammer. You can't just hit somebody over the head and go magically like, listen, and you may want to, but it's not going to happen. And the only way that is going to be successful as we move forward and we try to do our mission for God in this world as beings of children of God that are not of this world, a critical perspective is that we have to be persistent in what we're doing. We have to sow the seeds, even if the ground is not that fertile, because over time we will be successful, but it's going to take a repetition of sowing. Now, in the sense of parables, as Christ was saying, some are able to hear what's in the parable. So there are some that it will never settle in with. And that may be those ideas or thoughts or pieces that you're sharing that are falling on the path where the birds devour the seeds, meaning that there's no hope for that seed ever to take root. And we just don't know what that is. And that's the whole thing, is in this world that we're in right now, we have so many that are wandering, and we don't really know what it is that they hear or what it is that their hearts feel, other than some are locked into a matrix of absolute fear or compliance, worse. And others are locked into and when I say compliance, a willful compliance. And yet others are wandering and still and beginning to question. What's going to be the thing that wakes them up? And that's the choice. That's an issue that we have that we don't have an answer to. What is going to be the process is for us to continue to seed. and casting these seeds in to see which ones will take root. It might not be anything that we can tangibly see a result of. We might not see the harvest from what we do. But what we will have is a reality of connecting with people in such a way that as we continue to do this and as we do it collectively in each of our unique ways in our relationship with God, that there will be a point where that message will get through and you can break through, literally, the matrix. But this is really a mission one at a time. I mean, Christ spoke to a whole group of people, a crowd that stood before him as he stood in the boat. And as he's speaking parables, as he reveals later in the next passage, the purpose of the parables, which is Matthew 13:10, then the disciples came to him and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But for the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart will have grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and turn, I would heal them.'" And it is that probability or that possibility of someone literally being healed through finally awakening. But the thing that's really important about this is Christ doesn't just stay and keep working the same problem over and over. This is a consistent theme throughout his journey. He's walking and moving. He speaks to crowds, but he doesn't stay to crowds to worship him. Now, I say this because one of the problems that I think we have is this constant, persistent trying to approach people and trying to get them to see things our way. So say it's a same group of friends, or say it's a family group, and you are constantly arguing with them or debating with them or pressing into them to get to see things your way. That's not seeding. I would call that probably bulldozing, right? Where we're trying to literally bulldoze them under and force them to see what we see or what the way we want them to see. The seeding, as in Christ was doing, which was so important, was he continued to move along and provide through parables that information that for those that were able to hear and see, it would trigger something. And that would then lead to something else that would be out of his touch, but that person would then begin to see the truths. And that constant pressing of moving along and seeding is something that we need to commit to. We can't just continually beat on people. And in doing so, what happens when we do is we take on a burden and a weight that will literally bring us down. We are literally fighting into their domain and then becoming part of their world, because we're not winning, we're not accomplishing, we're not changing, we're not influencing them. That's not the mission. And I think that's the biggest thing. We are walking with God and walking with Christ in our heart. And as we lead there, we become the light for many to see. And in seeing, thus, what we're able to do is to allow them to look to where they want to go, and they begin to look for the crumbs to guide them. We become a beacon for them to find a way out of darkness. And that's a metaphor, but it also becomes a physical experience. As we provide that very powerful view of the world, a view of the world that's centered on joy, the loving Christ, not a world that's based on negativity and the doom and gloom of the end of times, but rather the celebration of Christ in our lives, the power of what that means, the power of truth, the confidence of walking with God, the knowing that when we make this walk, there is no fear. You will find as you talk to people that many people see or will wonder why you have no fear. And it will happen. So why aren't you afraid? I'm not afraid. Why should I be afraid? Because when I walk with God, I can't be afraid. There is no fear in God's world. It is a fearless world. Fear not, as is said many, many times in different versions of the Bible, up to 366 times, depending on the version. Fear not, over and over. reminding us of that place that when we walk truly with God, there is absolutely no fear. So when we're able to walk that presence in our life and we're able to go that way and be that example for others, we literally become a beacon of hope, a beacon of optimism, a beacon of light in their soul that others want. And what people feel good about, they want more of. That's the beautiful thing. How many people want to be around an Eeyore, or how many people want to be around somebody who's massively depressed, or all they talk about all the time is the negativity and the pain and the anger? Sadly, those that migrate to that are caught in an addiction cycle of that keeps feeding itself, and it's not a good outcome. If you're talking about always fighting and angry and hating and those sorts of things, that in itself has its own neurochemicals that people begin to become reliant on. And it's a cycle of over and over and over of reinforcing an image of the world, which makes people embittered, angered, depressed. And in the end, it has no benefit in unifying. It only divides us. And it doesn't get us any closer to God. But when we're walking in that place as Christ walked, which was this powerful place of truth, the truths that God presents, the joy and love that God gives us within, not the physical love, but the love like agape, the deep appreciation for all things, the empathy for those that are suffering, the desire to heal. Those are beautiful places. And it's so much more powerful and overwhelming to those that are walking in the darkness of anger and hate. Every person at one point or another probably can be touched by that. Unless, maybe not everybody. You know, maybe some are just beyond repair. And I think that that's probably there. But a large percentage of people can be touched by that sort of very powerful optimism and view of the world. And if we're approaching the world as a walk, as Christ did, and constantly sowing seeds, then where we're going is we're constantly building up the power of light and optimism and joy through the seeds that we sow. And there, right in, is one of the greatest missions that we ever have. When we seek out to change people, to influence people, we're also having an expectation of outcomes. If there's one consistent theme within all of the walk of Christ, there isn't a statement of outcomes, of him going to a crowd and saying, I'm going to speak to you today with the expectation that five of you will be healed. I'm going to work with this group of people today with the expectation that all of you will see the truth. In fact, when we look at the parables, the purpose of the parables, it says exactly opposite of that. Because there in Matthew 13:12, for the one who has more will be given, and he will have abundance, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. It is an effort, a constant recommitment to Christ, to be walking in that place where each and every day we are recommitting to him, and we have to. And it's a powerful walk in doing that. We're constantly pressing into his view of the world, his vision, his love. And as we do that, we're trying to bring that into the world. But not all will be able to see it, and even fewer will be able to hear it. But it isn't we are trying to seed the seeds, because many people are walking in that place as if they are a desolate beach, a rocky ground, an unfertile soil. But enough work over time by the repetition of exposure, eventually their hearts may actually open up. And in so doing, as is said, I would heal them, says Christ. So it's a powerful component in where we are right now, in the many people that are out here walking and wandering. And we're literally wondering and asking ourselves, what can be done? Where are we going? That's not an answer that we can give, and it's not a concern that we should carry. Because we know that in the purpose of why we're here, we're not in this world. We are doing missions in this world, and instead we are not of this world. We are something other. And that's an important perspective, because we're not here to be the fixers, the repairers, the makers, and those that will solve all the problems. We're here to share God's word, to occupy the land and expand his kingdom. And in the end, it's an important piece to remember that when we accept Christ, while we can show a person the concepts, share the love that we have with Christ in our heart, the whole point is that they have to make the choice and they have to return to him. That is a lot where we are right now, and it's a massive burden for many that they didn't even realize that they had done. Because so many have been wandering without God and rejected God in their life, Making a decision to take a shot was just another walk in the park. It's no big deal. It's just a simple injection. Not realizing that what they were actually doing was giving up their free will to something that was never intended to help them, but instead intended to harm them and enslave them. Through repentance in Christ, they can be freed, perhaps. I have no idea how that outcome goes. Because I don't know what happens when you damage your temple and you change your frequencies and you change the very core of the DNA which God gave you, which was perfect. I don't know those consequences. And I don't have those answers. I'm not one that paints an optimistic picture. I'm not one that paints a pessimistic picture. But I do paint a real picture. And the real picture is this, that we are accountable to the decisions that we make. That when we obsess ourselves with trying to fix others, we forget that in the end we have to take care of ourselves. That in our walk of life, as we walk truly with Christ in our heart, we become a lantern for others to see, and through that they will hopefully find Christ in a journey that will be theirs and very deeply personal. But when we take decisions upon our own and reject God or don't have a relationship with God, and we decide that we're going to seek our salvation through a needle and through the salvation from fear, through an injection that was never intended to do us good, but we put our trust and our worship in a pharmaceutical company, an institution of medicine, the media, and all the various government agencies that are trying to bait you, encourage you, then there is a problem. And that problem is something that we decide and we must live with. And that's not a problem that we can solve for them, but only through the repentance in Christ can they begin to solve the problem within. So all of this said, sow the seeds. Don't be impatient with people not changing before you. We don't know what their timing is, only God knows. But what God doesn't want us to do is to sit on the side or be so aggressive and angry that we're trying to beat them into submission by accepting God. Though I will say, if I did have the opportunity to do waterboarding for salvation in Gitmo, I'd probably do it. And I would guarantee you by the end of the day, they would meet Christ or meet God. But one way or the other, they would. But that's another subject. But when we are walking in this path of respect for one another, we should be very joyful in our heart in appreciating that God is entrusting to us to sow the seeds. And as we sow the seeds, we don't know what the point will be when those take root, but they aren't going to take root unless we sow them. So let's take that challenge. Sow the seeds. Be patient with those. Don't try to convert everybody that comes before you. Don't try to force the hand of making people see the world as you see it or as we see it. It's God's job once we open the door, and God does this work amazingly well. We just have to trust in Him and trust that the mission we're on will have effect even if we don't see the harvest in our lifetime. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time we come together. We thank You for the walk that we're on, and we thank You for the patience that we must have, the grace and the temperance as we face a very challenging time, eager to try to help the many to see, but reflective of the point that much of this journey that they're on is a choice that they must make to return to You. That ultimately in our hearts we must make the choice to be with You, stand with You, and walk with Christ. That we can't force those to comply. But we can become the light. And as we walk in that joy and that love of You, let us be that light, that attraction that they see, the moth to the flame. That they see this and they want part of it. And in so doing and seeing through us that their eyes are open, their ears are open, and they seek You and return to You, humbled at Your feet. Lord, may You guide us in this walk. Give us the grace and the walk of Christ, the strength to heal in the pieces that we can. And the opportunity to share the joy of the love of Your Son, Jesus Christ, with all. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. So, Patriots, it is not ever going to be easy. And it shouldn't be in many ways. Life wasn't intended to be easy. God didn't design it that way. And the path that we're on, the narrow path, is constantly a challenge as we must climb. But in the end, we must climb. And in the end, we must sow the seeds And as we do, we don't know what forests will grow, but we can be assured of one thing. If God is touching it, the forests will be impressive, and what grows will be unlike anything we could have ever imagined. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. Prayers are our unity. Prayers are our strength and connection through God. And God is always with us. He will never forsake us. And in the end, as we know so well, God will always win. I'll see you. I'll be back tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. Eastern. Until then, or until the next time, God bless. Thank you. Good night. And out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights been pushing through, fight for all we had to lose. Reaching out for something to pull us up to level ground. Oh, I can see it now, I can see it now.
Sometimes when belonging becomes something to fight.